Hello everyone, I'm George Milan. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the assisted dying bill in the United Kingdom. Now, it only applies to Mid Britain and South Britain. Northern Ireland and Scotland will do their own thing. So the proper name is the Terminally Ill Adults End of Life Bill. So this has been debated in the House of Commons. Now, North Britain is considering similar legislation. There are quite a few jurisdictions in the world which allow assisted dying, or we might call it assisted suicide, euthanasia, all roughly the same thing. Now, the parameters vary from one country to the next. Several states in the USA do, Belgium, the Netherlands since the 70s, some states in Australia. Dr. Kevorkian in the United States in the early 90s, he more or less pioneered this in the US. He did serve some jail sentence for it. So the idea is that people who are adults of sound mind, who have a condition which means they're likely to die within 6 months, they should be given assistance to end their lives. Should we call it to commit suicide? Maybe I'm sanitizing it too much. Now, there are certain limitations to this. The person has to be or have legal capacity, because someone who, say, got Down syndrome, or someone who's mentally ill or whatever, he, she can't decide. Someone who's in a coma, things like that. Remember, Whose Life Is It Anyway? A well-known play from about 1990. So a woman with a painful terminal condition, and obviously, and she won help to commit suicide. Now, the thing is, there's nothing to stop someone jumping in front of a bus or off a building or swallowing loads of pills or things like that. I don't want to think about all various methods like that. So it's not a cheery topic at this time of year. But people are living longer and longer and facing conditions like Huntington's chorea or dementia or whatever, or, you know, locked-in syndrome, motor neurone disease, horrific terminal conditions, Parkinson's perhaps. Now, it might get to the stage where this person cannot end his or her own life because he, she is semi-paralyzed, wouldn't be able to put a pill in his or her mouth, inject themselves with something rather. Now, so some people have been traveling to the Dignitas Clinic in Switzerland, and the guy who found it, I believe he ended his own life there some time ago. They're putting that suicide pod, but well, I don't know exactly how it kills the person. Anyway, Dignitas have been the Latin word for dignity. It's increasingly normal in the Netherlands. You know, over 1% of deaths are by this, and a former prime minister of the Netherlands, he and his wife, they ended their lives together some months ago. Been prime minister about 45 years ago. Okay, so it's sort of been destigmatized. Plus, people are living longer and not dying so suddenly of heart attacks or rapidly advancing cancer or road crashes. So their time to think about it. Do they want to go on living a significant period of time or not? Now, I'm not sure, does this envisage it applying to mental illness as well as physical illness? There was a horrifying case about a year and a half ago in the Netherlands where a very physically healthy woman of 27, she had chronic depression. The doctor said, well, you're just never going to beat this. And so she chose to commit suicide, and she was allowed to have help doing it. I thought, oh, my God, that's horrendous. That just doesn't bear contemplation. And she had parents who loved her and a sister. She had a boyfriend. She had a cat. And life was good. She lived in a wonderful place, but she wanted to do it. Now, if we don't do that, we don't help her, there are ways she can do it which might traumatize other people. They find her hanging, or she jumps in front of a car or something like that, which might cause other people to be killed while the car swerves, or even people just traumatized for life seeing that. Anyway, so it's terrible. But is it just going to normalize this culture of death? So, yeah, in the Scottish Parliament, similar legislation is being debated. So it's going up to the House of Lords. I believe it's not on a partisan basis. So it's not a party political thing. That the House of Lords are going to spend 4 days debating it. Remember, the House of Peers can only delay legislation by a maximum of 1 year. Depends how badly that a government wants to ram it through, if they're willing to spend enough time with three readings in the House of Commons. So Kim Ledbetter, he's a Labour backbench MP. He introduced this in October last year. So it's a private member's bill, in as much as it's not His Majesty's government has this there. It's not in their manifesto. It's meant to be a cross-party thing. It's a matter of conscience. So it's not something that people appeal for votes on that much. It's not that Labour takes this attitude, Conservatives oppose, Liberal Democrats have a third position, or something of that nature. Anyway, so it passed by a small majority, majority of 55. So there have been lots of proposed changes. And, you know, you can niggle around the edge and say 18 is not high enough, has to be 21. How come they had to be estimated to have under 6 months left to live? Why not 3 months or 12 months or something like that? I suppose it's the absolutist fallacy, because almost all limits, numerical, temporal, whatever, are debatable. Why exactly this one and not that one? And how many doctors have to estimate is under 6 months left to go? It could be because is it two doctors? Is it three doctors or what? And that the person that he or she is making this decision of his or her own volition, that they haven't been coerced, have to say it out loud, sign it numerous times, be witnessed away from relatives, and they say, come on, you're using up too much money in the nursing home, there's no inheritance, come on, do it. Or people insulting them or threatening them or whatever and making them want to do it. And then people might feel guilty for being alive or something like that. And to be absolutely candid, the cost of people keeping people alive in nursing homes is skyrocketing. People are living for longer and more people in it. The grey vote is an ever heavier burden on people like me, and plus they're young people who don't work. But that's not sufficient argument to say that they should be allowed to commit suicide. Goodness. So maybe we should just face up to how ghastly this is. You know, that is the ultimate statistic. I forget who said it. Death awaits us all. We're all fellow passengers to the grave. And to some extent, one can choose how one dies and when one dies by lifestyle. Are you an ectomorph or an endomorph? Or do you smoke? Or do you take drugs? Or are you promiscuous? Do you drive dangerously or whatever? Or are you exceedingly healthy? And so on. I remember a wise friend saying many years ago, there are few pleasures in life that are worth renouncing for the sake of one more year in a nursing home right at the end. Whatever your greatest pleasure in life, would you forsake that in return for an extra year in a nursing home? Possibly not. And there's some sort of fairly innocent pleasures like mushy peas or tea, which I don't think are going to foreshorten your life by a significant amount. So it's been scrutinized. Wow. Okay. So anyway, so... Is it going to happen in the spring? Possibly. Now, the Lords are quite unhappy with it. I've put forward a lot of about 1,000 propositions to change it. These are mostly unfriendly amendments. I know that there's only been a backbench bill which has ever had quite so many amendments, so make it very, very difficult. So some people are opposed, say it's going to be making the disabled feel like they have to do this. And then who's going to inject the person with a deadly poison? It's going to be doctors. And will that wreck the relationship between doctors and these people? Will it be one's own GP? We'll say, no, that's somehow unethical. But the person might say, I want it's my GP. I like him, her, had a long relationship. Is that unfair on the general practitioner or a doctor who's known you? Could be a doctor who's a completely stranger to you. So it's more clinical and so on. Wow. So the bill might fail. So it's not seen to be... something that urgent to get through. I mean, I'm broadly in favor. This really is a choice. I'm worried that it's the thin end of the wedge, that we open a door we can't shut, the sluice gates which go ever and ever wider, and it's a one-way ratchet, and it's people who are going to die within 12 months or 2 years or 3 years or whatever, and the age limit goes down from 18 to 16 to 15 to 12 and all the rest of it, and huge numbers of people who are only a little bit ill are doing this. Which is very troubling, and the healthcare is there not to kill people. That's not health, and that's not care, and so on. As I say, suicide is not illegal. It was illegal attempting it until the 60s, because obviously if you succeed, but they can't prosecute because you're dead. Now, at the moment, helping people commit suicide is illegal. And there was a man whose wife was in very, very ill, definitely going to die in agony, wanted to go to Switzerland to end her life. He was planning to push a wheelchair onto the plane, telling the police in advance, full disclosure, can you guarantee you won't prosecute me? You say, we can't give you that guarantee. So far as I know, no one in the United Kingdom has ever been prosecuted for taking someone abroad when he or she wanted to commit suicide in a country where it's lawful. But it's still theoretically possible that that would happen. And there was a man who helped his wife commit suicide. This is about 2000. And there was absolutely no question that she wanted him to do it. Nevertheless, he was prosecuted for murder because it occurred in the United Kingdom and he was jailed. And he had to be given a life sentence. But then they said the tariff was ridiculous, it's very, very low. I don't really understand these tariffs. Like Tony Martin, who shot dead that burglar who broke into his house in 1999. And Martin had to be given a life sentence for defending himself. But then he was really big. Then he had some ridiculously short tariffs. So he was released after about 2.5 years in prison, which makes a mockery of the very notion of a life sentence. But anyway, what do you think? I would like to be edified with your views. So this really is a choice. This really is personal autonomy. Right. Thank you for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.